We are in James, and James chapter 3, and we're talking about wisdom. As a matter of fact, it comes from James 3, 13 through 18, the earthly wisdom and heavenly wisdom. And so let's go to read. Let's read this, and then we will just start discussing it. It says, "Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom." And so immediately we see that wisdom is action. Wisdom is walking it out. Wisdom is a lifestyle, if you will, right? So wisdom versus foolishness, and we see it in our conduct. And then verse 14, "But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy." And then finally, verse 18, "Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace." And so wisdom and the difference between earthly wisdom and heavenly wisdom, God's wisdom and our wisdom. You know, the unfortunate part is man has gotten so caught up in himself that he thinks he's somebody. Amen. And the reality is, guys, we're not. We're just not. And as I thought about this before or last week, and I thought, man, who is exemplary of earthly wisdom versus God's wisdom, even though God chose to bless this man, chose not to exercise. Like, he could give out great advice, amen. He could give out great wisdom and great knowledge and explain to people. And one of the stories or events in the Bible that we see from the king is there were two women fighting over a child. And so as it goes in the Bible, the two women, both of them had children, basically newborns, and one child dies through the night. And so the mom of that child realized what happens and swaps children with another woman through the night. How crazy is that? Someone say, yeah, that's crazy. That's crazy, right? And so they get before the king because now the woman of the real mother of the child that's still alive sees this other woman have her child. And so she wants her child. And the lady won't give the child back. So they go before the king. And when they go before the king, King Solomon, and he's listening to this thing that's going on. And so he says to the guards, "Take this child and cut him in half." Now, mind you, this child's the child that's alive and breathing and so on and so forth. And the one woman was like, "That'd be fair." And the other woman goes, "No! No. No, no, give her the child. Spare the child. Just give her the child. Spare the child." And the king said, "That is the real mom. Because the real mom does not want her child to die. The mother who lost her child but stole this child was like, yeah, that's fair." See, there was no heart, no connection. And King Solomon knew that the real mom would have been at any cost save the child. And so there was great wisdom there, and that great wisdom was exercised or walked out, that conduct, amen? That's what we're talking about. And so King Solomon is a wonderful example of what James is talking about here. And as I went and looked in Ecclesiastes, and this is what we're going to be in today, really. I mean, James is our launch pad, but Ecclesiastes is going to be our example in our study today, because I think that King Solomon understood it far better than what we do if we're not careful. Amen. Because the problem with people today is they are in pursuit of and then you can fill in the blank, but it's usually not holiness or righteousness. Pursuit of, but it's usually not in the wisdom, right, of God's wisdom, because God's wisdom will tell us to put the brakes on and to set back a second, take a breath, and so on and so forth. Man's wisdom says, no, you got to be in pursuit and strike while the iron's hot. And man's wisdom says, follow the trends, follow the trends, follow the trends, and then get in there when the getting's good. And so we get so hung up in man's wisdom in ways that we get lost, and that's how so many people are getting scammed and how so many people are getting taken and losing money and so on and so forth, because we don't stop to seek God's face. We don't stop to pray. We don't stop to say, okay, wait a minute. Let me just share this with you for some of you, especially the elderly people in the room. One of the big scams today is AI can be used to generate the your loved one's voice. And so then they can create this thing where it sounds like your loved one is calling you to say, hey, I need money for this, and you got to send it to me right now, and if you don't, blah, 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 right? And so then you're quick to jump on the phone because you loved your loved one, and you at no expense, man, here it is, whatever it takes, take it. And then you send them money, and it was a scam. And so wisdom would say, oh, let me call you back and confirm this, right? Because then you can call the real number and ask the real person what's going on. Or better wisdom would say, oh, great. If this is really you, what's our code word? Right? So you don't even have to call back. Because everybody would have this little code word that if someone calls for a scam, let me give. Everyone has a word, and here's the code word: schizophrenic. I don't know. Right? But we have this code word. I remember there was a movie. This is going way back when I was a kid. It was called Coach. Not the series Coach, but it was a movie called Coach, and the lady was a coach, and she was coaching a college, high school, I don't know, basketball team, whichever one it was, and then they hypnotized this player who was like 6'9", but he was awkward, but they hypnotized him that he was the greatest player ever, like Michael Jordan, blah blah blah, right? So and so they had a code word. And then anytime they said that word, he became this amazing basketball player. And the word was Jabberwocky. And you're like, how do you remember that? I have no clue, but it has never left my brain since the 80s. I think at the time, actually, it would have been before that, because I would have been roughly 10 years old, 10 years old. I know I only look 20, but you know what I'm saying. It was way back then, but it was Jabberwocky. And so let me just throw this out to you, that have a code word with your family, so that if they call and say I need, or you know, and it's requirement of money or whatever, say okay, just confirm it's you. What's our code word? Like, that's wisdom. Amen. Would that be good? How many here are going to create a code word? That's what I'm doing. The rest of you are just silly. No, I'm kidding. I got three people who went, I'm in. The rest of you are like, I got to think about it. So any rate, it's just wisdom, right? It's this thing. And if we're not careful, hey guys, if we're not careful, what happens is we get hung up in man's ways. We get hung up in man's ways. We get hung up in man's wisdom, man's desire, because that's what drives man's wisdom, is man's desire. Amen. And James is saying, listen, no. We got to have earthly wisdom. And then Solomon jumps in this. And I'm just going to tell you, Solomon is amazing and brutish all at the same time, meaning that he has all this wisdom and understanding, but he failed to apply it to his own life. Amen? So he has all this wisdom and understanding that came from God to lead God's people, but he failed to exercise it himself. And there's many people like that today, where we can help someone out and we can quote the scriptures and we're in, but then when it comes time to exercising it, we can't do it. And then we're frustrated at God because God's not blessing when you didn't surrender. You see what I'm saying? And this is what happened to Solomon, the wisest man who ever lived. The Bible says there'd be none before him like that and none after him like he was. And yet he train wrecked his life. God said, don't take any women from other nations, because if you do, they will draw you away from me. And Solomon's like, okay, no problem. He becomes king, and what does he do? Gets 1,000 concubines. This dude's not smart. He might have great wisdom, but he's not smart. He all of a sudden gets all these wives. He's got 700 wives and 300 concubines, not 1,000. He has 1,000 total, forgive me. And then he starts setting up altars for their gods on his property, which God established as gods, as his own. And then all of a sudden Solomon starts derailing. He's failing to exercise wisdom in his life, but man, he can sure enough give it to the people, but he fails to exercise it. And I'm just telling you, and James is telling us to listen and understand the difference, because someone comes along and says, oh, you're wise, you're smart. Don't, listen. I want him to say, I'm godly. I'm holy. I'm righteous. Because then that means I'm following the Lord. And if someone's coming up and telling us how smart we are we exercising this in God's word and through God's way, or is it man's? And this is what James is telling us. The difference between earthly wisdom and God's wisdom, or heavenly wisdom. We went over Proverbs 4:7. I think that should help. Gimpy, are you there? Proverbs 4:7. I'm just going to work my way real quick down here, but I'm trying to get sound on board where I'm at. Proverbs 4:7, which would have actually been your next verse after, or probably been your first verse, Proverbs 4:7, last week's PowerPoint. Do we have it? There you go. Anything else go with that? just a curiosity question. Proverbs 4:7. Okay, let's move on. That's everything. Proverbs 4:7 says this, wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom, and in all you're getting, get understanding. And so the most principal thing that we need is wisdom, or that we should be getting is wisdom. And then we see, which is where we left off last week, that King Solomon, that's what he sought. He sought after wisdom, right? And so God asked him, God says in 1 Kings 3, 5 through 6, there we go. He says, ask, what shall I give you? Look at the ask exclamation point. I know I talked about this last week. I'm just kind of covering it. But he says, ask. This isn't, you can ask. Yeah, what? No, this is ask. God is saying, ask me. Whatever it is, ask me. What shall I give you? Ask. What shall I give you? Man, I'm telling you, what an amazing, where God is just opening up to Solomon, ask. What do you want? What shall I give you? And he's emphatic about it. Next verse. And then we went over this last week. If you remember, Solomon says, you've shown great mercy to your servant David, my father, because, that word because established why God honored him. That word because establishes why God has shown great mercy to David. Right? Because we look, we know David was technically in the beginning wasn't a really good guy, was he? He was a murderer, a liar, an adulterer. Right off the rip. And yet God showed mercy to him. Now, David still had to pay the price for some of his sins, but God showed mercy to him because. And so we have to establish the because if we want God to show mercy to us, if we want God to give us wisdom, if we want God to give us understanding, if we want God to bless us, to guide us, not, and I'm not talking bless us financially, I'm just talking to bless us with sanity. Amen. How many feel like today at every turn people are insane and quite possibly you're one of them? Amen. Like in my brain, I'm like, Lord, because some, if we're not careful, right, we get caught up in this, and all of a sudden you think you're the one not thinking right. Even if you're thinking biblically, you think you're the one not thinking right. And there have been times where I'm the only one in the room that takes this stand, which I was funny. I was talking to someone, and they're like, you know, you're very opinionated. I know. And that's legit, right? And so I gotta curb the way I respond to people. And I gotta curb sometimes some of the things I say. And so I'm praying and I'm like, Lord, give me wisdom and give me understanding. And because the truth is, I'm not trying to hurt people or run them off. I'm not trying to damage anyone. And I have this tendency to go, they're like, hey, Pastor, I have this problem. Yeah, I know, and here it is. And they're like reeling, you know? And then in my brain, I'm going, wow, I could have done that a little bit different. Right? I mean, that's legit. And so, we have to just sometimes just take a breath and we just have to just back up and really think about, am I the problem? You know, am I exercising wisdom? Because the world will convince you too. That's the other thing, right? I take stands where I know I'm the only one in the cesspool standing for Jesus and the rest are a cesspool. And so by the time I get done debating them, nobody's ever swayed me. But in my brain, I'm like, Lord, am I the problem? And some of these will be debates with other pastors. And these other pastors are trying to convince me how wrong I am. And I'm like, no, this is what the Word of God says. And by the time they get done, I walk away and I'm like, Lord, am I really the problem? Like is this, you know, I never move from where I took the stand, but then I go, let me go back and research it. Let me research again. Let me look at it again. Because sometimes people use man's wisdom to manipulate, right? And if we're not right with God, we can get caught up in that manipulation. If we're not right with God, we can get caught up in the lies. We'll know it's a lie, but somehow we still got to go back and process and think about it like we didn't know it was a lie. And I'm just telling you, if we're not careful, man will come in and try to sway us. Look at how many books are being written on the Word of God now, and how many podcasts, and how many churches, and how many, where they're all going against and saying, no, that's not what it means. That's not what it means. I'm like, no, that is what it means. No. And it's like, wait a minute, you're supposed to be a teacher of the Word to your flock. And the response was, I'd rather spend more time ministering to the people than studying the Word. How can you minister to the people properly if you don't know the Word? Right? You see what I'm saying? Like this has to be, whereas I'll spend more time studying the Word so I can minister to the people. And it's like, no, I'm wrong because I'm over the top. And I am over the top. Look, I'm aggressive. I got it. I'm loud. I know. My wife will even tell me, I'm right here. To which I respond, I know, I see you. Like it's, anyway, I'm slow. I can be all these things. But one of the things that I can't be is against the Word of God so I can have my own way. Like none of us can be that. So we have to exercise wisdom, God's wisdom, not man's wisdom. But man will try to to draw you away. And we can't do that. And so in 1 Kings 3, 5, and 6, Solomon answers, because, right? You've shown great mercy to my father, because. And then go to 1 Kings 3, 9 through 12. Remember, God asks, what do you want? And then Solomon comes along and he says this, therefore, give, this is his answer to God about what he wants. Therefore, give to your servant an understanding heart to judge your people, that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to judge this great people of yours? God, I'm going to be king. You know this. And all I'm asking for is that you give me this wisdom and understanding so I can judge your people in a way that brings you glory and help them walk with you. But that's all I want. These are your people. And who's able to judge your people better than you? And so God, just give me your wisdom. Give me your knowledge. Give me your understanding. And so God says, okay, I'm going to give it to you. And some of you can sit here and you read the Bible every day and you study the Word of God and praise Jesus for that, right? Amen. But do you practice what you read? Do you practice what you learn? Because so many people, we are looking for ways to point out the splinter in someone else's eye rather than looking for ways to see the plank in our own. And that's kind of what happened to Solomon. God gives him all this wisdom and he starts out great, but the money starts rolling in and the fame starts rolling in and all this stuff just starts coming in on Solomon. And now Solomon thinks that there is no smell to his stuff anymore. Like everything is wonderful. And then he starts acting like it. But yet when it comes to ruling God's people, he does well. But when he starts looking at his own heart, he fails miserably. And James says, beware of that. Beware of that. And by the way, this is what it looks like here. And this is what God's wisdom looks like here. And I'm only doing this because he gives the first, the devil's wisdom before he gives God's wisdom. That's why I'm, because obviously we know God's wisdom is higher. And then next verse, verse 10. The speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. Next. Then God said to him, because, bang, look at this, the word because, and you're like, what's so significant? This is why God was moved, right? That word because is, this is why God was moved to find favor with King David. This is why God was moved to find favor with Solomon. The because of what man did, God responded accordingly. That's the because you have asked this thing and have not asked long life for yourself, nor have asked riches for yourself, nor have asked the life of your enemies, right? Because Solomon could have said, hey, I want all these people dead. And God would have been like, okay, I'll do it. Nope. Solomon asked nothing for himself, nothing. His request was, God, you. I want to honor you. And the only way I know to honor you is if you give me wisdom to lead your people closer to you. It had nothing to do with Solomon. And so God's like, because you have asked this thing, you've not asked for long life, you've not asked for riches, and you haven't asked for the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself understanding to discern justice. It's got nothing to do with you, Solomon. You asked for everything that I would have for my people rather than what you would have for yourself. Look here at next verse. Behold. Remember, the word behold is, let me get your attention. I need you to listen because this next statement carries some importance. That's the word behold. It sets up an expectation to follow. And he says, behold, I have done according to your words. Listen, I've given what you've asked for. Why? Because he was not selfish. He wasn't looking for personal gain. He was looking to honor God in everything. And God's like, I'll do it. I will do it. I have given you a wise and understanding heart so that there has not been anyone like you before you, nor shall any like you arise after you. I have given what you've asked for. Guys, I'm just telling you, some of us, we struggle, and some of us, we make poor decisions. Some of us, we pay penalties higher than what we need to pay, longer than we need to pay them, because we're not seeking for God to use us where God is glorified. We're seeking God to give to us where we are plentiful. Does that make sense? And you're like, well, how do I pray this? God, give me what uses me to lead people to you and helps people have a better understanding of who you are. Give this to me. And God will open your eyes, and God will open your mind, and God will open your heart, and God will open your borders. And then you'll find the answer to life is in what Solomon asked for, not in what we typically ask for. And I'll ask people, I'm like, hey, have you read the Word of God? Have you spent time with Jesus? Have you? How's that going to fix my problem? And this is what I get. And I'm like, whoa, it's going to fix your problem, because you're going to find the answer the way God would have you solve the problem rather than the way you want to solve the problem, because you will put yourself in deeper doo-doo, whatever that doo-doo looks like. Because, see, we can't see a way out of our problems except for the way other people have dealt with it. But for some reason, we don't look for the way other people deals with it through the Word of God. We look at the way other people deals with it through life. Why do you think, and I'm going to prove my statement right here, why do you think self-help books do so wonderful? Your best life now. No, your best life is with Jesus. Self-help. How can I do this the best? How can I do that the best? Where can I? And what do? We start following man because this one person became successful. And so now we're going to apply all of his rules to our life that he did for his life. And sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. And the reason that it doesn't is because there's some things that change. There's some variables. Like, number one, we don't have that person's personality, so we don't know how they work through a group. And by the way, they may be really outgoing and you may be really quiet. And so they made connections that you would never make because you don't leave your bedroom and they go out everywhere. You see what I'm saying? But we're going to take and spend the money because they have the answers, and we're just going to follow man and all these self-helps. And there, by the way, there's a book on everything. And then they made it even easier because some of these books were like, oh, we can't do this. So they started coming out with this series of books, Computers for Dummies, How to Make Money for Dummies, Stockholders for Dummies. Everybody, and we're like, oh, okay, so this has got to be on the simplest form because I don't understand it, so I'll just follow the dummies. Did you hear that? And it's like, wait a minute, why don't we stop and just follow God to see what God would have us do? Why don't we stop and seek God's face to see how we should handle it? Because sometimes God will ask you to handle it in a way that you would never have dreamt to handle it. Where we would respond aggressively, God's like, nope, you just give a smile and be kind. It's like, whoa, wait a minute, that's not what they deserve. Wait a minute, I didn't tell you to give them what they deserved. I told you how to best handle it. Boy, there's a big difference in this world, isn't it? An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. God's like, yeah, that could be legit, but not in this situation. I need you to set back. I want you to give. Give! So there was a guy that he called the church. This has been years ago. And he wanted money. And I asked a series of questions. Now, it was only $150 because at the time, I think we only had $800 in the account. I mean, we didn't have a ton of money. We were starting out. We were kind of poor. Okay, we weren't kind of. We were, yeah, we needed money. At any rate, And so this guy asked for money, and I'm like, I asked serious questions. And in my brain, I went, no. But before I could take the signal from my brain to my tongue so he actually heard me on the phone, God said, give him the money. I'm like, Lord? Now, I know if I know he's lying, you know he's lying. And Lord, I know he's lying. This dude is a liar from the word go. God, why do you want me to give this liar money? God said, give him money. I told the guy, I'll call you right back, because I had to talk to God. You know what I'm saying? So I hang up, and then God and I have this real conversation, this legit conversation. And I said, Lord, he's a liar. You know he's a liar, and I'm not giving no liar money. I'm not honoring the lie. God said, give him the money. All right, I surrender. So I call the guy back. I said, hey, all right, listen, I'll give you the money. You can meet me at the church. And he's like, well, I don't have a ride. Can you meet me at such and such place, which was downtown Albany? And I went, this sucker can't even come and get his own money. Now I got to spend my gas money. I'm like, hold on, I'll call you back. Hung up the phone. Lord, this dude can't even come and get it. And he's like, take him the money. Oh, Lord, okay. I don't know if you understand what's going on, Lord, but this dude's a liar and he won't even come and get. I got to hand him the money for my, Lord, we got it. So I call the guy back. All right, where do you want me to meet you? He wants me to meet him at the hotel down in Albany. And I was like, all right, I'm going to meet you there. And I'm going to be there at such and such time. And you better be standing outside, because I am not waiting. I am not looking. As a matter of fact, I'm going to circle in and I'm circling out. And if I don't see you, I'm gone. What are you wearing? And you better be descriptive, because I'm not looking real hard. You get what I'm saying? Any rate, he tells me what he looks like. I go up there and I circle in, and there he is. Because I told him what I look like, and I was on the motorcycle. And he walks up to me, so I stop, set the kickstand. Because you always set the kickstand, so if you have to bail, your bike doesn't get scratched. I mean, even if you're getting ready to go into it, you got to save the bike. That's all I'm saying. And so, at any rate, set the kickstand. He comes up, and I looked at him, and I went, Lord, forgive me. I looked at him, and I was like, here's your check. But I know you're a liar. But for some reason, God told me to give it to you, so you better spend it wisely. I let him have the check, took off on the bike. And God was like, almost job well done. He said, you did what I asked, but your attitude was horrible. And of course, then he proceeds to tell me. Anyway, fast forward, because you're wondering, like, what did all that have to do with anything? Fast forward almost 2 years later. I'm talking to a guy and I tell him what happened. And I said, this guy, this is what I know about this guy, blah, 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 right? And he goes, oh, I know who that is. Give me his phone number. And he goes, I can't. He's in the books and this is my job. I go, give me his phone number. And so at any rate, he's like, I can't do that, blah, blah, blah. So I end up getting his phone number anyway. And I called the house. And his grandmother answered. And I said, I know this is a long story, forgive me. And his grandmother answered, and I said, hey, does so-and-so live there? Yeah, this is my grandson. I am such and such church. She goes, and she repeats the name, and I said, yes. And she said, I remember you 2 years ago, my grandson brought a check in for $150 and said that you paid for our groceries. Now I'm mad. I'm mad for two reasons. One, because the truth is, I argued with God when I should have just surrendered right up front. Amen. Two, I'm mad because why didn't he just tell me the truth? Why didn't he just tell me the truth? I wouldn't have given him a check for $150. I would have given him a grocery card at the grocery store of his choice for $200. Like, why didn't you just tell me the truth? And so I got robbed and put myself in a bad way by not being obedient like I should. And then he robbed us of blessing someone because he created a lie and God was like, give it to him. So here, God's feeding grandma through this dude's lies. And my whole point in all that is that when God tells us to do something, we need to surrender to it because God knows what we don't. And so we have to live according to him and his ways and his rules. And if you're walking with him, you'll hear him. So many people are like, I don't even know what God sounds like. I think it's time that you invest in God deep enough and build a relationship deep enough so you can hear his voice. Amen. Solomon knew God's voice. And God spoke and blessed him. And man, he did so well with it. And he did because of his father's example. Think about that one for a second. He said, God, give me wisdom to judge your people. My father sets the example. My father taught me, you're the God that does all of this. You delivered him. Like, I mean, think of all the Psalms and all the things that David said. Granted, in the beginning, listen, David was a doofus. And I mean, let's just be honest, right? He did some things that is like, dude, come on. Even I wouldn't have done that. But man, when God finally got a hold of his heart, then David started doing everything. God, lead me. God, guide me. God, deliver me. God, you are my rock. You are my salvation. You are my anchor. You're my fortress. And he, like David got, when he finally got right with God, God became everything. And then God blessed him and God delivered him and God spared him and God used him. And Solomon was a byproduct of King David, Solomon was able to look and see how God was blessing him and moving him in his life and doing. And so Solomon comes along. And listen, Solomon, if he didn't have the right relationship with God, he would never have asked for what he asked for. Think about that. Number one, he wouldn't have known God's voice. He'd have been like, oh, this is all in my head. Woo-doo. Okay, I got to stop doing whatever I do. But he didn't. He knew God's voice. And he asked God for what almost would have seemed to be the impossible. Why? Because King David had already established who God was, and Solomon witnessed this. And so Solomon knew, if I'm ever going to make it, I need the God that David had, my father. I need him. And God, when he said, ask whatever it is you will, Solomon already knew God was a God that was loyal and that was there and that was all powerful and that can do anything. And then Solomon also knew, wow, this is such a great task that God, if you don't give me wisdom to get through this, I will die in it. And whatever we're in, whatever it is that we are in, there's no way that we won't die in it if we don't have God's hand on us. And we need to have this attitude that Solomon had. Give me wisdom. And God's like, listen, he tells us in his word, you ask for wisdom, I will give it to you liberally. Meaning, I won't withhold. I will pour it on you. But how many times do we ask for God's wisdom with a real desire to actually carry it out? Instead, we'd rather suffer and struggle and create hardships on our own because God's going to tell us to do things where we know, no, shouldn't do it. Listen, if it wasn't for the fact, I literally had to call this dude back twice because I had to have a conversation with God because I knew he was lying to me. And then God's like, give him the money. And I'm like, okay, I'll call you back because, I'll call you back. And I'm like, okay, God, is this you or is this the spirit of Satan? Because I'm telling you, Satan gives money to liars, God's people don't. God's like, it's me. Okay. And I had to go with that, right? I had to work through that. I know this man's lying to me. But it's because of my walk with Jesus that I was able to walk through and work through that. And that's all I'm telling you. There's not one person in this room that's not struggling with a problem today. Not one. There's not one of you sitting here that you don't have an issue in your life that literally could take you down like that. It is like Satan has got his hand on the plug at the back of the boat. You guys know what that plug is, right? Without it, the boat sinks. With it, the boat floats. And we're not paying any attention because we're so busy driving the boat. And Satan's back there pulling it. He's ready to pull the plug. He wants to take the boat down and he wants to take everybody in it with him. But if we seek God's wisdom, Satan has no power to control the boat. He could want to pull the plug all he wants so that the boat sinks, but with God's hand on it, the boat will never sink. We're the boat. And so the question is, guys, and this is honest, like this is true, and you really got to stop and think, am I being conquered because I am on my own? Am I being conquered because I've not sought God's face? I've not looked into his word? I'm not asking him to help me to what? Because sometimes people go like this. I can't ask God for anything for me. And it's like, wait a minute, God says you have not because you ask not. Well, I can't pray for me. God's like, why not? I told you, come to me, come to the throne, come to the cross. Lay all of your burdens at my feet. Put all of your anxiety at my feet. I want it all. Don't carry it. I want it. And then for some reason, we think, I can't give that to God. I got to pray for someone else because selfish pray for me. I'm going to tell you what, if you don't pray for you and get yourself right with God, you can't do any good for someone else. Not of eternal value. And so when Solomon asked for this and God's like, man, I will give it to you because you didn't make this about you. Guys, if you're struggling, don't make this about you. Don't. Listen, God's answering my prayers that I prayed for 2 years ago. Now, through the time, I could have went, God's not going to show up. Daggum, late like always. He's never there when I want him there. God's never late, by the way. He works off of his schedule, and his timing is always perfect and always right. But in my brain, I'm impatient sometimes. Amen. Anyone else with me? And so I'm like, Lord's late. Daggum. And God's going, nobody's late. It just wasn't time yet. And if you'd have been walking with me, you'd have been content in whatever it is you're in because you know I got control over this. We're not content in God because we don't walk in him. We walk in our own strength and then call on him when we feel like we're about to drown. And that's not how it should be. If we don't learn anything, learn this from Solomon and King David, Mom, Dad. King David established this relationship with God. Now, granted, it was Solomon's decision to trust God and to follow God, but would he have known God if it wasn't for his dad? Real question, amen? Go back to stats. Mom, you can come to church, you can get saved. 17% of the time, your children will come to church and get saved. If dad comes to church and gets saved and keeps coming to church, 94% of the time, the children would come to church and get saved and keep coming to church. How crazy are the stats? And so we see David establishes Solomon in God, so much so that Solomon when the day comes, rests in God. And God answers his prayer. And maybe, guys, just maybe, some of our problems would go away if we sought for God's wisdom. Amen? Maybe. Just maybe. I'm going to end right there. So it'll be a part three because I'm still only like a quarter away. And this sermon might take me 8 months. I don't know. My point is, though, guys, until we truly rest in God and trust him, he's not going to deliver us from our issues. Even if we got to walk through the fire, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they still got thrown into the fire. Amen? But God delivered them. They didn't get burnt. They still got thrown into the fire. God may not deliver us the way we think, but our mindset should be like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. If he delivers me, amen. And if he doesn't deliver me, amen. That should be our mindset. If you're struggling, if you feel alone, if you feel like, where's God? I'm just saying, let's just stop and start building our relationship with God through his word, through surrender, with a true heart, a true heart. Not here, but here. Because if we don't, then James, remember in the beginning, says, don't expect anything from God. You're a double-minded man, unstable in all your ways. And so really it comes back to us. What relationship do we want with God? And don't be shocked if that's exactly what we get in the end. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Father in heaven, Lord, we come before you. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for your wonderful promises. Father, thank you that you saw fit to put in your word, Father, how we can walk closer to you and how others walk close to you. And the word because establishes so much. And Father, I pray your hand upon each and every one here because they sought your face with a true heart. Father, I pray that you would give wisdom, guidance, and direction to everyone here because they sought your face with a true heart. Father, I pray that you would use each and every one here in such a way that you get the glory and we get strengthened because we sought your face with a true heart. And you answered us. And you delivered us. And so, Father, today I pray your hand to move in such a way that moves us closer to you. That puts us in a situation where we say, not my will be done, but yours, Father. And then we walk so close to you that we do things that we normally wouldn't do, but we do it because you said so, and we know you said so because of our relationship and we're walking so close. Oh, Father, we need you. Help us to surrender. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here today and you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I would just tell you that is the beginning. You have to start there. You have the beginning of the relationship with God the Father and with God doing amazing things in your life and giving you wisdom and guidance and direction. It starts with surrender, and surrender starts with salvation. And so the Bible says that for whosoever believes will be saved. Believes what? That Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That Jesus died on the cross for your sins. That Jesus died for us that if we should believe in him, that we would have eternal life and we would never perish. And so if you're here today and you believe Jesus Christ is who the Bible says he is, but you've never surrendered, you've never given your life over to Jesus Christ, but you want to today, then I ask that you would pray this prayer. Now the prayer isn't what saves you, it's that gives you that time stamp. Your belief in Jesus Christ, putting your faith in Jesus and Jesus alone to get to heaven, that is what saves you. The prayer gives you a time stamp so you can say, this day, with all of my heart, I gave my life to Jesus Christ. If that's your desire, you pray this prayer quietly into yourself. Jesus, today, with all of my heart, I surrender to you. I believe you are the only way to heaven. I believe that without you and the shedding of your blood, there would be no way to get to heaven. And so today, I ask that you forgive me of all the sin I've ever done. And today, I repent. I turn from my ways, from my wicked ways, my evil ways. I turn from all of my desires, and I turn to you. And I'm going to walk in your ways. Help me where I fall short. Help me in my unbelief. Help me through this. But today, with all of my heart, I surrender to you.